Christian Parenting.
Welcome to the Christian Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, Steph Thurling. I'm the Executive Director of Christian Parenting, a mom of three, and I am so glad that you're here. This is a place where you can bring your real self, no matter what that looks like today, and be given the space, resources, and encouragement you need to set aside perfection and grow into the perfectly imperfect parent God made you to be. I know as a mom, it is so easy to put everybody else's needs ahead of yours. And I know this because I do it too. But when hormonal changes start to take a toll on your body, it is definitely time to start taking care of you. Hormone health is so much more than just a few symptoms. It affects everything from your mood to your energy levels to how you cope with stress. If you're a woman, you know how easily hormones can get out of balance, especially with all the daily stresses of life. And when that happens, it can feel like everything else is off too. But what if there is a simple habit that you could add to your routine that could make a huge difference? That's where Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth comes in. Happy Mammoth, the company that started Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, especially moms. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. The results are so impressive, you guys. There are over 40,000 reviews on their website, and women cannot stop talking about it on social media and in real life too. I know so many people who use Hormone Harmony and absolutely love it. In fact, a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code CPPODCAST at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code CPPODCAST for 15% off today. Hi there, and welcome to the Christian Parenting Podcast. I am so excited for you to hear this bonus episode today. We are talking all about school and the parent-teacher relationship. I am joined by Tracy Potts, who is a mom of three adult kids and a grandmother of two. She is advisory board chair of Learning Heroes, which is an educational nonprofit focused on family engagement. She's former National PTA Family Engagement Fellow and a board member, and she spent 12 years involved in her school PTA. Today, she is helping us understand a parent's role in their child's education, the difference between grades and grade level performance, how we can best support our kids in school, and how we can show our teachers appreciation for all of the amazing things that we do. I think that you're going to be really encouraged by Tracy and everything that she has to share with us today. Hey, Tracy, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Steph?
I am really good. I am very excited to talk to you today about school and parent-teacher relationships. I just feel like as I was thinking about this interview, I thought every parent listening is in a different phase of life, right? Every parent has different kids, but what every parent has is a kid who has to go to school.
Absolutely.
And no matter how we decide to do school, there's going to be some sort of teacher-parent relationship. And so I'm excited to kind of dive into it today and hear all about what you have to share with us. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good to be here. It's one of the things I love to talk about.
Oh, good. Okay. So, but before we get into it, I want to know a little bit about you. So tell us about yourself, tell us about your family, and then can you describe your family in one word or phrase?
So short version of me, I am a longtime journalist turned educator, which really excites me because I spent a lot of time trying to support education and advocate for education before I, you know, jumped a few years ago and said, I think I want to do this for myself. In terms of my family, my husband and I have been married for 26 years. We have three adult children. That is a whole new journey. Like, let's do a podcast on that someday. But we have three young adult children and two grandchildren. They're 5 and 11. Our grandson just turned 11. So they're kind of spread all out now. Like, we've got one in college on the West Coast. We've got one down South. We've got one at home. So it's a transition time, really, for our family, trying to figure out, you know, how we, my mom has moved out of state. So I think we're just trying to figure out like how we keep family close and how we keep family together with everybody doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing, which is growing up.
Yeah. I feel like I always tell people, I feel like that stage that you're in has to be the hardest, second to maybe becoming a parent for the very first time.
Yeah. It's tough because that's a big transition, right? All of a sudden you have this, you know, very cute baby that you've been waiting for. But, you know, they're needy and they're crying and, you know, I don't know how to do this and no book came with them. And now it's like, wait, am I still a parent? How do I do parenting? Mm. Wait, they're adults. They make their own decisions. So yeah, I think you're right. It's a really big transition for all of us. But good. Like we're wading through it. It's fun.
Yeah. Well, patience, which you've probably grown with as you become a parent.
Absolutely.
And then what is your one word?
Oh, so my one word, maybe transition, I think. Maybe is an easier one. I think we're a family in transition now. Trying to make sure that, you know, the birds fly out of the nest and we figure out, okay, what's the nest gonna look like now?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I like that one. I think it applies to a lot of stages too, not just where you are, but so many times. There are probably some parents who are transitioning to their kids going to school for the first time or college. You know, like it's all or just walking.
And it's all of a sudden they're mobile. Right? There's no negative connotation to it. It's just like, oops, okay, it's time for life change now. Let's adjust and figure this thing out.
Yeah. Together. Okay. And then what is the one thing you want every parent to know?
Ooh. So I spend a lot of my time really advocating for parents to get involved in education, to feel empowered that is their space. Like you're supposed to be there. You're supposed to ask questions. You're supposed to be part of that process. And I really wish every parent knew that. We come from a lot of backgrounds. Some people see a school and they like turn and run away. They're like, oh, that didn't work out so well for me. Some people have been very engaged. You know, other people, we have different cultures where, you know, we have different expectations. But the one thing that we now know, I mean, science has told us, experience has told us, is that if kids are going to be successful in school, if they're going to have a good education, it matters when parents are involved. And so the one thing I want parents to know is, you matter. You're a very important part of getting that child from kindergarten to crossing a stage at graduation. They do it better when we're all in.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I'm curious, with all of your experience in education, how has your faith kind of impacted how you view education or how you even just chose to do what you do in your career?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the one thing about my faith, and I failed to mention earlier when you asked me about my family, my husband's a minister. We've been involved in our church for longer than we've been married, since we were both kids. And I think it has set a high bar for excellence. So my kids will laugh if you ask them that question. How about I give you their answer?
I would love their answer.
Yeah, because we often sing, you know, I want to be like Jesus and, you know, Jesus is excellent. And I would always tell my kids, well, you know, that applies when you go to school, right? And they come home and I go, these guys don't seem to reflect that song you were singing on Sunday, right? So I think my faith has done two things when it comes to education. It set a high bar of excellence. Now that looks different for every child. I want to be really clear about that. But that we should be striving for our best. And the other thing is that how we behave in school, how we do school really matters. When my kids were little, I would start like elementary school. I would start every year and write a note to the teacher and say, hi, I'm Tracy. You know, I'm Derek's mom. I'm Anna's mom. I want you to know who I am. Here are my phone numbers. I want to be accessible to you. I want to be a partner with you. And I would add to that note, I'd say we are a Christian family. We have expectations for, you know, behavior and obedience and how they treat the other kids in the class. And while I realize that's not something that he or she could enforce in the class, I wanted them to know what our expectations were for our kids. And if she doesn't see that happening, I want to be part of it.
Yeah, that's good. That's really helpful. I always try to meet with my teachers at the beginning of the year too, but I don't write a letter. I feel like that's really helpful.
Yeah, it's hard. You know, the beginning of the year is kind of crazy. And so I would just send them a note, and you know, every year. And I would say other things in the note, like this is what I think my kids' strengths are. This is what I think their weaknesses are. But I think the important thing I would try to say is like, this is who we are and I want to be accessible to you.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm curious. So if you, when your kids were growing up, if you had a kid who was not doing well in school, and you know that it was like, they have the potential for more. Yeah. When you had a kid who was not doing well.
To every family at some point. Yes.
What did you say to that child to be like, this isn't reflecting what you were singing on Sunday? Like, what would you actually say to like help them put those things together that like you are called to be doing your best work and you're not doing it?
So a lot of times, and again, remember, this is in hindsight.
Yes.
Right, because I said my kids are young adults now, but a lot of times it really started with trying to figure out the why. Because the why sometimes was, I just don't get math. Like that math, I'm not understanding it. Sometimes the why was, this is really boring. Why am I doing this? I don't want to turn in the homework. I really like the class before it better, or I want to be outside, you know, playing a game. And so trying to find out the why, I really think is a good start. And it promotes a good practice of us listening to our kids. Because that's part of that relationship building with the kids that really matters, like now, when they're young adults.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, that's good. I want to go back to the parent-teacher relationship. Because I love what you said, that what we do at home matters for our kids' education. I feel like when I walk in, we just had conferences a couple of weeks ago, our fall conferences. And I always feel like, okay, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. Like, I want to be involved and I want to advocate for my kids, but I don't want to cross the boundary. So what have you learned about the value of that parent-teacher partnership? And then what does like an ideal partnership look like?
Yeah. So first of all, it has to go so far beyond that parent-teacher conference. I mean, I used to call it speed dating. I get a little petrified. Now, I don't think I scare easily. But it's like, hi, sit here, wait, you're going to have 20 minutes. And then you walk in and there's this, especially when they get to like middle school, there's this bank of four or five teachers and they're throwing test scores and papers at you. And they're like, your kid's fine. Your kid's not fine. And I'm like, what?
In like a 10-minute time period.
Exactly. And, you know, it was literally like speed dating. And I was like, I don't think I like this. Our school ended up switching to another method that I think worked better. But your question was about building that parent-teacher relationship. I got to tell you, teachers have a rough job. And I say that not only as a parent, but as a parent advocate. So I was the PTA leader for a long time at my school. And I would tell my teachers, you're the TMPTA. Like, I represent the parents, but I also represent you. And so I would try, because I had the flexibility working an overnight shift to do this, to like just go out and hang out in the school sometimes. And I got to tell you, they have the hardest job. Mm-hmm. And so I think part of that relationship for us is, to whatever degree we can, everybody can't hang out in the school during the day, but understand what it is that the teacher is tasked with doing and what they're really trying to do. Sometimes what the school or what the district says, you know, meet these benchmarks, give these tests, make sure the kids get from here to here from September to May or June, is not all that the teacher's trying to do. Right. Sometimes she is trying to instill responsibility in our kids, or he is trying to instill responsibility in our kids, or get them to be accountable, or get them to be more confident about themselves. And I think when we have a conversation with them and get to know them as people, we can then start working as partners to help our kids. There are a lot of really good teachers.
There are some amazing teachers out there. And I truly don't know how they do it. It just looks
my
exhausting.
Kids would not have made it through without a couple of just really dedicated teachers. My daughter had one teacher that she started calling her school mom. So at first I was a little offended. I was like, excuse me, like, I went through labor. I'm your mom. You know, are you trying to take my place? But then I really thought about it. I said, this person has made such an impact, such an influence on my daughter, that she thinks of her as a mom when she's in school. You know, thank God for that.
Yeah. And does your daughter still talk about that teacher?
Yes. And actually, I touched base with her recently. I keep in touch with a lot of my kids' teachers from when they were younger. Like, now we're Facebook friends. Like, I wouldn't do it when they were in school. But now some of us are Facebook friends. Some of them have moved and we still keep in touch. We went all the way from the East Coast to California and had lunch with her kindergarten teacher many years later, because teachers are special, you know, they matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So when parents and teachers are working together and building that partnership and relationship, like what is one thing that you wish parents would discuss with their child's teacher?
Yeah. So the one thing, and I've really been talking a lot about this lately and focusing on this, is a really simple question. Ask the teacher, is my child on grade level? It sounds like a simple question. You probably think, why now? Because I saw their report card. One of the things that I'm involved with Learning Heroes, and one of the things that we have found over many years of research is that grades do not accurately reflect whether our kids are on grade level. So the grades reflect a lot of things. If your child is participating, they get a higher grade. If they're trying really hard, if they've shown improvement, no matter where they started. So all of that is mixed in there. So you see the B and you're like, oh, my kid's great. My kid's fine. Not necessarily. It may just mean your kid is a great kid who works really hard, who's come up from, you know, second grade reading level to a third grade reading level, but they're in fourth grade, right? Mm-hmm. And so the grade doesn't tell you that. So the one thing I really wish parents would do is ask that question, is my child on grade level? And that's a you know, it's a non-threatening kind of thing. It's a non-finger pointing kind of thing for both the parent or the teacher. It's just a fact that opens a really important conversation then, because if they're not, the next question becomes, what's going on and how do we get them there? And what can I do as a parent to help?
So you guys have probably heard me talk about IXL before, and that is because I truly love it. IXL is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum or offers a little more support at home that balances your school curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies. It adapts to each child, meeting them exactly where they are. So I have one kid who gets a little bored in math class and he wants more of a challenge. So I've used IXL to give him a little more work at home and really push him in his favorite subject. And then I have another child who's kind of struggled through some of his math units. And so we use IXL to get him a little more practice before those unit tests so that he feels more confident. And it has seriously been such a helpful tool for our family. IXL is easy to use. Everything is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it really simple to find activities for the exact skills that your kids are covering. IXL also offers instant feedback and explanations of new topics as kids use the program. So it's really helpful if you're using it to get a little extra support and practice in a particular subject. Like my family, you can make an impact on your child's learning and get IXL now. And Christian Parenting Podcast listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL memberships when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Again, you can visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the very best price.
I never really thought about that in those words, I guess. But there have been times where I've thought, like, I'm watching my child do a project at school.
Yeah.
And I have two boys and a girl. And I'm like, I know how artistic and creative my daughter is and how not my boys are. So when they're doing a project at school, that like part of the grading is based on creativity and drawing something, like she's just going to do better than they will. And that's not really a reflection at all of how they understand the content of the presentation, right? Like, it's just how much time they decide to sit at the kitchen counter and color for a while.
Right. Exactly. And it's not just, you know, your experience, which echoes my experience, but like we actually now have hard data that proves this. 90% of parents think their kids are on grade level. And in some cases, 10, 20, no more than 30% are. The highest that we found is about half. Like in some districts, in some areas like math or science, that 50%. But you've got 90% of parents thinking, yeah, my kid's fine. My kid's good. We're sailing here. And it's just not the case.
So what is the difference then between grade level performance and grades?
So grade level performance is when our children are actually meeting specific benchmarks for their grade. And the other thing that parents should ask is, what are those benchmarks, right?
Yeah, I'm so like, how am I supposed to know what those are?
Yeah, we don't necessarily know. I mean, there are a lot of resources out there. I don't know if you want to dig through 1,000 pages somewhere on your school board website, you can probably find them, or you could just ask your teacher, right? Because your teacher is dealing with this every day. So what are the benchmarks? Like, what should my child know how to read, how to compute at this point in their educational career? The difference you were asking, Steph, between grades and grade level is those benchmarks our kids need to hit, or if they're not hitting, we need to be helping them get there. Grades are a more holistic thing. So they include, are they hitting the benchmarks? Are they turning in their homework? And let me tell you, when my kids were in school, I learned something that shocked me because it was not the case when I was in school. Homework doesn't get graded. It just gets checked off for whether it's done. Oftentimes, you know, you do like 30 math problems, which personally I think is ridiculous. Like there are only 5 concepts in those 30 problems. But you do 30 math problems and the teacher sees that you did them and then it gets checked off. But like, are they correct? Did you get the concept? Certainly they go over that in class, but grades are made up of things like that. Or how much is the child participating? You know, I was a hand raiser. So if your child is doing this all the time, their grade's going to be higher. Doesn't mean they are, you know, reading at a J level when they, you know, should be at a B level or something like that. So these are the kinds of questions that parents who want to be learning heroes, and that's pretty much all of us, really need to be asking.
Yeah. Okay, if there's a parent listening who's like, I'm totally resonating with this, I'm not quite sure where my kid is, but homework is a struggle, and grades are hard, and we're just floundering our way through school right now, like, what would your best advice and encouragement be for that parent?
Yeah, so first of all, you are completely normal. And I'm just going to say that again, you are completely normal. Some of the best advice stuff I ever got when homework is a struggle. I used to be the one who, so we go to church during the week on Tuesday and Thursday nights. So we take our kids and they take their homework. I did the same thing growing up. So sometimes they had a lot of homework and I had one child who had learning challenges and she couldn't, you know, we're singing hallelujah over here and she couldn't concentrate on the math. So we'd take her over to the side and work on that. And sometimes she would be in tears, not because of the concentration thing, but whatever it was that she got in class, she wasn't getting on her own. And I don't know about you and new math, but me and new math, we don't always work together. And so I wanted to help her, but I couldn't always help her. So it would end up in these frustrating crying fits in church, which was really bad and kind of embarrassing. But the thing is, I got the best piece of advice once from a teacher who said, if your child can't complete the homework, your child can't complete the homework. If they are trying and it's not working, write me a note. Like write a note, clip it to the homework and say, we worked on this for 30 minutes. This is where she got stuck. We ended up crying and frustrated. She needs more help. I'm happy to help. Let me know what I can do. That's the end of that homework because doing it for another 45 minutes is not going to teach the concept.
Yeah. And it's just going to be not a positive experience and not healthy for your relationship too, right? Like, I feel like I'm guilty of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm guilty of that. I push through because I'm like, well, this is due. We got to finish it. And then I end up, the homework's done. We're all going to bed. And I'm like, that was a terrible evening.
Yeah.
It was terrible. And that's not the taste you want to leave.
It's that relate. No, it's not. It's not the taste that we want to leave about us in terms of our relationship building with our child. And it's not the taste that we want to leave in their mouth about education. Education is hard. Education isn't fun. Education doesn't like me. I'm not suited for that. Like, that's not what we want to create. And I'm, you know, I'm preaching to the choir here because I was definitely that parent. God knows there were plenty of times we went to bed and I said the same thing. But this is why it's so important for parents to talk to teachers and open up. And because when we write that note or when we ask that question, is my child on grade level? Then we open up that conversation and we open up that relationship with the teacher because there's a lot that's going to come after that.
Yeah. Okay, tell us a little bit about Learning Heroes and how that is empowering parents to help in their kids' education.
So first of all, I just love the name. Like, I did a presentation for Learning Heroes one time, and we had capes, and I handed out the capes to people, and like, it all automatically empowered people. Like, oh, like, I'm a hero for my kid. It was really cool. So Learning Heroes is a nonprofit that focuses on how do you get families engaged in education? Because like I said earlier, we're supposed to be there. We're supposed to be part of that process. The Bible tells us we're our children's first teachers, right? Mm-hmm. Teach them as they walk by the way. Teach them, you know, as they rise up, as they sit down. And so we are the first teachers. So we're supposed to be part of that process. What Learning Heroes does is show parents how to effectively be part of that process. So I am now the advisory board chair, but I got to tell you, I came into Learning Heroes as just a mom. It was this time of year, and I was approaching the parent conferences, and I remembered seeing a resource from Learning Heroes at least a year earlier on how to have a parent-teacher conversation. Like, it was a really simple, like a one-pager, like, when you're going to the conference, prepare this, get ready for this, ask this. I was like, that's what I need. So I reached out to them and stayed connected, and then just got more involved over.
Yeah. What are some of the things like that? Because that's super practical. I think parents are, especially parents now, parents are so busy. Like, we have a million things in our brain all the time. So I think in some ways it almost feels like, oh, now I have to think about what I'm going to say to my kid's teacher, you know? But like, you're providing an actual, like, here's what you can do. Like, tell us a little bit more about some of those things.
Yeah, we've got to make it easy for parents. Like, we can't, like, you can't be thinking from scratch on this stuff. If it's, you know, let's not reinvent the wheel. We have sent millions and millions and millions and millions of kids through school. We know how to do this as a society successfully. So what Learning Heroes does is packages some of those things in a way that's really easy for parents to understand. For example, the kindergarten readiness check. Let's go through these five things. Boom, that will let you know if your child is ready for kindergarten. The parent-teacher conversation tool that I talked about. Also for the summer, you know, so far beyond before the pandemic, we all knew that there was learning loss for everybody in the summer, right? Because not every kid was, you know, reading a 1,000-page book over the summer and doing educational things. Oh, having fun, they're kids. As my son would say, it's break. We're supposed to be taking a break. But the problem for teachers in September or August is, you know, there would be weeks, if not a month, of catch-up happening. And so parents can, during the summer, make sure that their kids are ready for that next grade. And so we've got some resources that help parents with that. Our Go Beyond Grades campaign is really exciting because we've got actual resources to show you, in some cases, in your own community, where you can go as a parent to get that help. Like, where's the tutoring? Where's the free tutoring? Where's the low-cost tutoring? Where are the summer programs that can actually help my child once I have that information and know what kind of help they need?
Okay, that's amazing. And just, like, so helpful for parents. Before we go, I'm thinking back to the beginning of our conversation when you were talking about teachers have the hardest job. And I think we can all agree that that's true. Parents and teachers, they're hard. So if you're a parent and a teacher, like, God bless you. You are doing you're doing the hard work. So in your experience, you've had so many years with the PTA, so many years as a parent in education. What can we do to best support our teachers and to just show them some love?
You know, for so many years, you mentioned PTA. Part of my job was to do that, like to push the coffee cart around on random days and go, you just want a drink? Like, you know, how's your day? They work so hard. I got to tell you, almost every email I got from a teacher was at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night. Like, I'm in my pajamas and now I'm getting the response from the teacher. What teachers have told me is they really just appreciate hearing. Like, we do, you know, the Teacher Appreciation Day and the Teacher Appreciation Week in May, which is wonderful. But like, bring them a random cup of coffee or a, you know, maybe a gift card or just like sometimes it's just the words. So I was a writer. So the gift that I give people, the, you know, my love language is through writing. And so sometimes I would just sit down and pick out two or three teachers who've been really helpful to my kids and just write them a note to acknowledge, I see you. I see what you're doing. I see all the extra that you're putting in. And I so appreciate it. And some teachers have told me like years later, oh my gosh, I still have that note. So I think that matters to them. And I you know, I love that. Even years later, like now, when my daughter graduated from college, you know, I'll write like the teacher who made a big difference in middle school. And I'll go, did you see this? And I'll send her a picture. And I'm like, you did that. Like she wouldn't have gotten there if not.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, everyone wants words of affirmation, right? Like, even if that's not your main love language, everyone just wants to know that they're doing a good job.
Yeah.
Because you're never going
to
know.
Main love language for a lot of teachers, though. They need to hear it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's a good reminder. Our school does, at the beginning of the year, they send out a favorite things list for all the teachers. So you have like a list of like what they really like what their favorite snacks are, what their favorite stores are, so that if you're going to do something random, like you kind of know what they want.
So my son's favorite teacher in middle school, who I still keep in touch with, even though she's moved out of state, this is a different teacher in a different state, was also his softball coach. And she would leave the classroom on days when they had after school games at a different school and not get a chance to eat. And so one day, like, I texted her and I was like, I'm coming to the game. You need anything? She's like, a cheeseburger. And so from then on, I was like, this lady's hungry. She probably skipped lunch. She, you know, couldn't get anything after school. She's dealing with these kids. So I would just, at the end of a game, I'd just like hand her the McDonald's bag. She was so happy. And it was such a small thing for me to do.
Right. That's a great example, though. I love that. That's really thoughtful of you. Okay, tell us where everyone can find Learning Heroes, where we can connect with this program.
Yeah.
Everything that we need to know, and I'll link it all in the show notes.
Okay, cool. So the main thing you need to know, so we're at bealearninghero.org, but where you really want to go right now, and where we're really putting all those resources that I talked about, is gobeyondgrades.org, Go Beyond Grades. And not only do we have resources there for parents, but one of the fastest growing parts of that site is our resources for teachers. Like teachers are eating it up because we have great stuff for them there too. So yeah, gobeyondgrades.org is a great place to start.
Great. I will put that all in show notes so that people can do that. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate your time.
This was fun. I appreciate it. It's always good to talk to another parent.
Yeah, it sure is. So thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for joining me. I loved Tracy. We chatted even longer after our recording ended and we talked all about school. And I feel like I had a little counseling session. It was delightful. But I have a lot of great ideas for not only how I'm going to support my kids and their academics, but also how I'm going to support their teachers. I think I'll definitely be writing beginning of school letters for my kids. I thought that was a great idea. So whether you are a teacher, a parent, or both, you should definitely check out BeALearningHero.org and GoBeyondGrades.org. I hope that you have a wonderful week. Thank you so much for joining us. May God bless you and your family this week. May you remember that you are God's child, holy and dearly loved, set apart for a purpose, and your kids are too. So may you have eyes to see how God created them to be uniquely made this week. Thank you so much for listening to the Christian Parenting Podcast. If you haven't subscribed, you can do that now, and that way you won't miss an episode. You can connect with us on Instagram at christianparenting_org and see more resources at christianparenting.org. And if you're a mom raising daughters, we have the perfect course for you. Visit cpguides.org to learn more about our Helping Moms Raise Confident Daughters online courses. And lastly, if you have enjoyed this podcast or other Christian parenting resources, please consider donating to this ministry. Visit christianparenting.org and click the donate button. Christian Parenting is 100% donor funded, and none of this would be possible without your help. We are so grateful for you. You're amazing. God bless you.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylo's rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only, 5/8 through 5/14. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.